The BC NDP have decided to look past the Site C dam. The opposition has a plan called Power BC, which calls for retrofitting homes and for fixing up older dams. It makes no mention of Site C. John Horgan is the leader of the BC NDP, and he joins me by phone this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So, where do you think the potential is for a Site C at all in the future of this province?
Well, there are very few energy experts that would suggest that today is the day you put $9 or $10 or $11 billion into 1950s technology. It's like going into your cell phone provider and saying, "I'd like to take that phone there, and I'll keep the phone for the next 50 years. People won't do that. Governments shouldn't do that. Corporations certainly wouldn't do that. So as we see jobs being shed on the coast at the fish cannery in Prince Rupert, we see jobs being shed in Tumbler Ridge in the mining sector, it strikes me that a better course of action over the long term, based on the environmental assessment that was done around Site C, is rather than lose money over the next number of years by producing more energy than we can absorb, let's incrementally improve our demand side. That means public buildings, schools, hospitals, and then moving to the industrial sector and the residential sector to improve our efficiency, which will reduce the need for Site C, and will also create more jobs in every corner of the province.
But this province does make a lot of money selling electricity to California.
No, it doesn't. No, it hasn't done that in 15 years. And the reason is there's an oversupply of electricity in the marketplace. And any assessment done by the Utilities Commission, which has been mothballed by the BC Liberals going back to 2010, 2011, demonstrated that. When Gordon Campbell move towards increasing the development of private power, the expectation was we would be able to export any surpluses. But that market's dried up. And the challenge now is, rather than promoting demand-side management or power smart programs, the government's reducing them. They eliminated the Live Smart program, which was oversubscribed, people lining up to get energy-efficient retrofits in their homes to reduce their costs. We've seen an escalation in consumption costs for residences and for businesses, and we've got more power than we need. That was identified in the environmental assessment around Site C. The government's forging ahead because of their failure on LNG, and I think that's a mistake, a big public policy mistake.
As you know, some of the work on Site C has already begun, and certainly there are commitments in place to continue that building. How much do you think it would cost the province if the work was shut down and we backed away from the project altogether?
Well, I would hope the government would listen to my appeal and others in the broader energy community and send the whole package to the Utilities Commission, whether it be the alternatives that I propose. There's an enormous amount of wind resources in the north.
I know, but my question was about how much it would cost to shut down.
Well, we'll have to see where we are by 2017. They've sunk about $500 million into scraping the ground. We don't have what's called an allied hydro agreement in place for local procurement and local hire provisions, so there's no guarantees that the jobs that will be created will be going to British
right.
Columbians. And we'll have to see where we're at, how much sunk cost there is. But it's currently pegged at $9 billion, and I haven't seen a publicly funded project by any government in the past 30 years that's come in on budget. So I rather expect we're heading towards $10, $11, $12 billion. And that's coming out of your pocket and your listeners' pockets for power that we don't need today.
So presumably we're going to need more power in the future. But I want to ask you about what you're saying about for things like wind, solar power, and so forth. There's an interesting project happening in Massachusetts where a local government is buying up solar panels. And then they get, obviously, those solar panels at a very discounted rate. And then they install them in people's homes for people who pass credit checks and so forth. And then work out a way to get it in people's homes at a much lower cost than they would ordinarily. How much of the NDP's Power BC project or proposal looks at things like that as a way to try and get people's homes retrofitted for the future?
It's totally predicated on that. And it's various jurisdictions around the world that are driving the prices down for renewable energy like solar and wind. In my community, the Sauk First Nation, every building on their reserve has photovoltaic capacity. They're selling power back to BC Hydro now, and that's on the rainy West Coast. If we look at the sunnier areas of British Columbia in the interior, in the Okanagan, down to a Soyuz, there's enormous potential. In California right now, the cost of energy is going down because of the oversupply of solar power. And I was at a facility at BCIT yesterday, and the technology is moving so rapidly. And I go back to the cell phone analogy. Just think of the brick that you used to have as a cell phone just 10, 15 years ago and what we're using today with a billion functions and applications that are being developed every single day. That's happening on the energy side as well. And I believe that going to the 1950s solution of dams, our reservoirs are the envy of North America. I give full credit to the visionaries in the 1950s, but we need visionaries for the 21st century, and that means looking at new technologies. And jobs in the north, the wind resource, you look at Tumbler Ridge, Chetwynd, Dawson Creek, already with wind capacity installed, there's enormous potential creating more jobs, diversifying our portfolio, and wind is a perfect complement for our reservoirs because, of course, when the wind doesn't blow, you let the water flow. When the wind is howling, which it does on the coast and in the Peace, you let the water hold and you raise the reservoirs. It's an elegant system that the government should be focusing on. Mr. Bennett and Ms. Clark are trying to find some hard hats to replace the 100,000 jobs that do not exist in the LNG sector today. I think they should be concerned about the 500 cannery jobs in Prince Rupert that were lost or being lost, and the mining jobs in Tumbler Ridge that are gone. We're shedding jobs, and the Liberals are focusing on old technology and not even committing to local hire in the process.
The one thing I want to wrap up on, I mean, it seems like the demand for electricity isn't going down anytime soon and will only increase in the years to come. How much do you think that your plan will get BC ready for demands of energy, not so much in terms of industry, but I mean, just even on a house-to-house basis, as more people buy electric cars that require recharging overnight and things like that, when typically the grid would take a break, what's your plan to make sure that we're keeping up to date with the technology that is coming into our homes that places greater demands on our electricity needs?
Well, you also have to consider how efficient our appliances are now. Every new appliance that you purchase is much more efficient than the one that your mom and dad used to use.
Yes, but it's constantly drawing electricity out of the wall, whereas a bunch of years ago, a TV wouldn't have.
But if you look at the forecasts that Hydro has had over the past 10 years and the actual consumption, it's flat. And now I know that's counterintuitive because we are all buying new technologies, but these technologies are more efficient. And every time a mill closes in British Columbia, and they've been doing that at a regular rate over the past 15 years, every time a mine goes down, industrial demand goes down as well. So we are flat in terms of our supply, our demand needs, and our supply is increasing because we purchased more energy than we needed through the clean energy calls of the Gordon Campbell era. Now the Liberals are piling on another 1,100 megawatts that forecloses on these new technologies. And storage, you talked about electric cars, that's a battery in your basement. So we're going to be able to store energy not just in our reservoirs, but in our garage as well. Technological change is going at such a rapid pace, and we see it in our daily lives. Why would we assume that it's not happening in the industrial energy sector as well? Your Massachusetts example is a perfect one. Solar panels are pennies now to produce, and the energy that they can produce and be stored in your car makes individuals and residences energy outlets rather than energy consumption.
Mr. Horgan, a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
It's an exciting future. I look forward to it.
John Horgan, leader of the BCNDP, speaking with us by phone, and we certainly want to hear from you. What do you think about the future of energy in this province, and should we stop work on Site C and move to some of the alternatives that the BCNDP leader is talking about? 1-866-340-1932 or email us daybreaknorth@cbc.ca.